So how's y'all's week been? Better now? My week has been tough. Starting on Monday night, we brought in some heavy equipment and tore down the old house out at our place. So all that's left there is a little bit of rubble and part of a roof. And I have to spend more money to get rid of that stuff. So we filled up three dumpsters with the old house, you know, those big, long container dumpsters things. Three of them, they're going to come empty on Monday, and I've got enough for one more to put in there. So almost every day except for Wednesday this week, I've been out there working. And yesterday I was out there working a lot, and I broke the backhoe that I borrowed, so I had to replace a hose thing on it, which is kind of a neat thing because, you know, I'm operating the backhoe back there, and then I see the I'm finished up lifting up the tree because I was pulling up trees too, and I move it over, and then I go to raise up the little arm thingies, whatever they're called, and as I lift on those levers, I see the thing. Have you ever seen at night how sometimes there's like a big bunch of gnats or something, and they're just like a swarm of them? It looks similar to that, only it was kind of a yellow color. So what do I got to do? I want to see what in the world it is. I lean my head over, and I get sprayed in the face with hydraulic fluid. And then I realized later that it was sprayed all over my face, all over my shirt, all over the back of the backhoe. And so I immediately turned it off, freaking out, thinking that it was going to be something with that, and later discovered that you just couldn't operate those things, but you could actually have the thing running. So yesterday morning, Pete's here in Glen Rose was able to fix that up, and all is well. But that's not part of the message. We're going to go ahead and start that now. So you can start recording now, Ariel. last few weeks throughout the summer, we've been talking about a variety of different superheroes, and many of them superheroes of the faith. And we have been talking about several that aren't really the mainstream that we all hear about. It's been a variety of different ones, like Ruth and Jesus' earthly dad, Joseph, and last week was somebody else. This is why I write them down. Yes, Amber? Yes, it was Gideon and his army. So a variety of different ones. And this week we're going to be talking about something different. This is going to be another lady. But first, before I go there, I want to talk about motorcycles for a minute because I love motorcycles. Did anybody else in here ride at all? I really wish that Patrick was here because he's in this message. So motorcycles have these two different sects, if you will. Maybe we say there's three of them. One of them is Harley riders, and then there's like all the rest of everybody grouped into there. And Harley riders are always, you know, that's the American bike. They're the ones that everybody wants to have, and they're chromey and they're loud, and everybody likes Harley Davidson motorcycles. And then there's a whole bunch of other bikes out there that are made in Japan, and they call them rice burners. And it goes as far as like the Harley riders like to pull jokes on these guys. So they go to somewhere and go inside, and one of the guys stays behind with a little bag of rice, and they pour rice out underneath the motorcycle, and then make a trail back to the road to show that it's leaking rice instead of oil. That Harleys leak everywhere. So I've got a lot of friends that ride on motorcycles also, and most of the guys that I know ride Harleys. Even my dad rides Harley, so I'm constantly catching all kinds of flack from these guys, but. And it's usually, you know, on the side of the road whenever they're broke down and my bike is still, okay, it's not really whenever it's that way, but so as you guys know also, I have a BMW motorcycle and I love my BMW motorcycle. And they can't put rice underneath of my bike because it's made by the Germans, so the worst case they could put like some bratwurst or something like that underneath of it, but they can't put rice underneath of my bike. And then I've got several reasons that I could list that BMW bikes are great, but I just want to offer up one, and this is where I wish that Patrick was here to hear this, is my whenever I was making the decision between Harley and BMW, like it's a tough choice. Do I want to go against the grain of all my friends and my dad and all these people and buy a BMW, or do I want to go with my father-in-law and get the BMW instead of a Harley? My father-in-law started buying BMW bikes in 1976, which was when I was born. And then 9 years later, he bought a 1985 BMW motorcycle. I have one just like that also in my front yard if we didn't run over it with the backhoe. That motorcycle, whenever my father-in-law had one exactly like it, he put 450,000 miles on a motorcycle, and it was a BMW. You don't hear too often about Harley-Davidson motorcycles going for 450,000 miles before the engine finally wears out and you got to do something something different. That's because the Germans know what they're doing when it comes to airplanes and motorcycles. So all that to say that one day I was up at my office in Glenrose, and I'm inside. My father-in-law, we used to work together, and Patrick back there, he pulls up on his Harley, and he's got his leather vest on. He's not wearing a helmet. He's got his do-rag on, and my father-in-law hears him pulling up because you can hear Harley-Davidson for several miles. So he pulls up outside, and my father-in-law comes out, and he just starts berating him, not wearing a helmet, that motorcycle's too loud, and they shake all over the place, and you know all these different things. So he's really giving him resin. And Patrick, you know, he's going right back about, you know, BMWs and how much better Harleys are and how much better looking that his bike are and all this kind of stuff. So I'm sitting there watching these two guys starting to get angrier and angrier, and I start going, man, I need to kind of back up out of the way before this turns into some kind of a fist fight. Well, as they're getting angry and angry, finally Patrick says, you know what, if I didn't ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, then I would ride a BMW. They're really nice bikes. It's just not my preference, but BMWs are okay. My father-in-law's face changed, and everything started to settle down and simmer down, and all was well. That's not to say that Patrick likes BMW motorcycles, because he still gives me all kinds of junk about my BMW up there at work all the time. And how much better his is. And I just get to laugh whenever I hit my starter button and it starts right back up, and he has to hit his like three or four times to get his bike to start up. So it was kind of a wise decision on Patrick's part to say something to de-escalate what was going on there at my office, because I think it could have easily turned into all-out battle and these two guys not liking each other at all over something like a motorcycle preference, which that's really all that it comes down to, is a motorcycle preference. So Patrick showed wisdom whenever he eased that tension out, and by just saying, I would ride your, you know, I would ride BMWs if I didn't ride Harleys. So it makes me wonder if you guys have ever been in a type of situation that you wonder if the tension is starting to get so bad that things can develop badly, and you need some wisdom to keep it from exploding into something that it's not. Am I the only one that's been in that kind of a situation? Yeah? Shanice says yes. So other people have been in that kind of a situation as, also. So things can rear up in many different forms. Whenever I start thinking about all the different confrontations and things that can rear up, they can rear up in our marriages. We can have a problem in our marriage that starts off as something small, and then we start saying mean things back and forth and back and forth, and next thing you know, this little bitty issue has your wife sleeping out on the couch. Okay, so maybe that's a little backwards. But anyway, these little things can turn into something very, very big and problematic, and we need some wisdom to get through those things. And then sometimes it can be something at work. So you're at work, and you know there's a couple of people up there, and they're having some issues, and you see that it starts to get more and more out of hand. You see that one person is seeing something completely different than the other person is, and things like that can start happening. Or it can happen with your friends. Anybody ever had a couple of friends, and you're friends with both of them, and their two are friends, and this person thinks that this person did something, but they really didn't do, or they didn't mean to do it that way, and so this guy over here is getting mad because they're mad, this, you know what I'm saying? So we can see all these different things that confrontations can pop up, and we need to have wisdom in order to work within that to try to help our friends or our marriage or whatever to ease that tension and get rid of that and be a peacemaker instead of that, because we don't want something like that can turn into a big all-out battle that can end in somebody, you know, getting hurt or someone becoming enemies or hate happening or something like that. So today's message is about a superhero of the faith named Abigail. How many of you guys know who Abigail is? Yeah, Amber does. So Abigail was married to a rich dude named Nabal or Nabal. I didn't look up the pronunciation of how that was, but it was during the time whenever King David wasn't king yet. It was still King Saul, and King Saul was trying to protect his kingdom because he didn't want anyone else to take over. He thought that it should go down through his family line, but God had chosen David to be the next king over Israel. So Saul didn't like him, so he's chasing him down. David is out in these fields. He's running. He's hiding from Saul because he viewed Saul as anointed by God. He did not want any harm to come to Saul. So much that while Saul is actively hunting him, pursuing him, wanting him dead, David creeps up behind him inside of a cave one time and cuts off a little piece of his garment and then takes it to him after that and says, "See, I could have killed you right then, but I didn't want to do that." And he was trying to be a peacemaker, but that didn't really work out so well. So during this time, whenever David is up in these hills and he's got his 600 men, that's an army for him, they're trying to hide from Saul, there was this rich guy named Nabal that was married to a beautiful lady named Abigail. And David and his men had protected his servants and his shepherds that were out taking care of his sheep and goats and everything. And then it comes to shearing season. And whenever they are preparing to shear, David sends some of his guys down to ask if they can be part of the celebration that shearing brought on. And they would have these big feast things. So David wanted him and his men to be part of this thing. Sends them down there, and this guy, Nabal, this is what he answers to David's men that are asking. This is going to be in 1 Samuel 25, verse 10. This is how Nabal answers David's servants. "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and water and my meat that I've killed for my shears and give it to some men from where I do not know where they came from?" So he's being kind of rude. Here's David up there keeping people from coming in and taking over his sheep or even taking his sheep for themselves. And this guy is being kind of rude to David, and he's not wanting him to take part, which would have been a normal thing for protectors to be part of this celebration, because they were there helping make sure that everything was okay to where he would have sheep to shear, right? So these guys go back and they tell David what's going on. And David gets immediately angry. So angry, in fact, that he's, you know, says, "All right, you guys strap on your swords. 400 of you guys strap on your swords. The other 200 are going to stay back here and watch over our stuff. And we're going to go in there. We're not going to leave anybody alive. There won't be a single living thing inside of that entire property." So they start strapping on the swords. And during this time, one of Nabal's servants runs back to Abigail, the wife, and tells her what's happening, because she didn't know that guys had gone to her husband. And she goes into immediate action. She starts gathering up food that they had and getting all these things ready and sends it on its way. And then she jumps on a donkey and she takes off to meet David somewhere. And then whenever she gets out there to where he's at, she used her wisdom to speak to David in a way that managed to ease this tension to where it didn't break out into this all-out bloodshed thing, and also there would be blood on David's hand. Whenever she gets there to David, this is what she says, and this is from 1 Samuel 25, and we're going to jump up to 23. "When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for his name is, so is he.'" Nabal means fool. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. "But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives," and that's capital Lord, it's talking about God lives, "and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my lord to be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord," meaning God again, "will certainly make my lord a sure house, because of my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of living care, living in the care of the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies shall be and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for my lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. So she rushes into action, gathers up some food, and she heads out there, and then she gets down at his feet, and she builds him up and uses her wisdom to say, I'm a servant of yours. I'm at your feet here. Please don't, you know, go back and kill all these people and do this stuff. And God has great plans for you, and you don't want to have this bloodshed on your conscience and this stuff. And so David ends up not going. He doesn't go down there do anything. He accepts her gift. And then she goes back home, and that night she finds that her husband, Nabal, is drunk with wine. They'd had too much wine, so he's drunk. And she decides to not say anything. But the next day, she goes to him, and she says, hey, you just about got all of us killed last night. Here's what you did and why it was wrong. And then it says that his heart got hard, and then 10 days later, he passes away. And this was all because of her wisdom in keeping everyone else alive there. But God still dealt with Nabal because of what he had done to David, who was one of God's anointed men there. And so because of her wise actions, she was able to live. And so were all of their servants of their house and all that kind of stuff. And she eventually became one of David's wives. So we know that David had at least one wise wife out of all his wives. And I also feel like I'm blessed because I have a wife who's often wise herself, just like her. So what kind of a lesson can we learn from Abigail? She was wise in her actions, and the Bible says that she was wise, but she also was a peacemaker. And the two wisdom and peacemaking work together. So Abigail's attempt at peacemaking could have been completely and totally different if she didn't use the wisdom that God had given to her. And we have opportunities to be peacemakers in our lives also, right? Y'all had those opportunities at all? Anybody? Yeah. So we've all had some opportunities that we can be peacemakers, and we need to use wisdom whenever we get into those areas. Because whenever there's something going on at work and you have the opportunity to be a peacemaker between some people that are having some problems, we should definitely be praying for wisdom so that we can have the wisdom to help de-escalate those problems. Or in our marriage, whenever there is a problem in our marriage, we should exercise wisdom to try to make peace with the other individual as best as we can, instead of letting a fight turn in, you know, fester and turn into something big and giant and an issue that we just can't ever seem to get away from. If there's like a problem at church, and I know it's hard to believe that at church there would be any kind of issues, right? But sometimes at church there can be some people that are having some tension also, and we have to do our very best to use wisdom and be peacemakers whenever there's some kind of an issue that arises, and try not to allow something to fester until it becomes this big, massive problem that we don't know how to deal with, and it becomes more and more difficult. So there's also times that as parents we have to be a peacemaker, right? Sometimes You have to be a peacemaker between mom and her teenage daughter because the two of them are having issues communicating, and so the dad has to be the one that sees this point of view and sees this point of view and makes them understand each other, which I got to tell you guys is something really, really weird for me, because one of my teenage daughters was always great with mama until she reached teenagehood. And then suddenly they can't figure out how to communicate very well all the time, so dad has to be a peacemaker. And sometimes mom has to be a peacemaker between dad and the kids, because dads, we like to just lay down laws and say, this is how it's going to be, and sometimes that can be bucked and ends up turning into one of those big festering problems because we didn't see everything the way that it needed to be. So as parents, sometimes we need to be peacemakers also with our children and try to keep them on a good path to where everybody's getting along and loving them the way that we should. And Jesus said that the peacemakers are blessed too, right? And we all want to be blessed. I know that I do. So I looked up some traits that we could look at as of what peacemakers are. And number one, we should be wise like Abigail. We know that wisdom comes from God because Jesus' half-brother James wrote in the book of James, it was a letter, that wisdom comes from God. And we also know that the wisdom and knowledge comes from the fear of the Lord. So we need to fear God, and we need to pray and ask for wisdom in order to get wisdom so that we can be wise like Abigail. And whenever we come into these circumstances, we're able to do something that causes the friction to cease and for people to get along and love everybody in the process. Which, speaking of, number two is we need to have all the characteristics of love, but especially patience. Sometimes an issue may not be easy to resolve immediately. Have you guys ever had any of those things that have festered up and you're trying to make peace with either another person because you're having difficulty with them, or you're trying to help two people have peace, but it's turned into something bigger than what it probably should be, and you have to be patient because it may not resolve itself very quickly. When in the seminary class, Joey always said that whenever you pray and ask for specific things from God, he's going to answer you one of three ways. He's going to say yes, he's going to say no, or he's going to say not now. So we need to be aware of that and have patience with people as we're going through some of these tough times. So we need to be wise like Abigail. We need to have all the characteristics of love, including patience. And also, number three, we need to be full of mercy and good fruits. Because having peace and making peace aren't the same thing. God promises children that we might experience peace. In Isaiah 26:3, which I don't think I put in there, says that those who keep their mind on the Lord, God will keep in perfect peace. So it's a good starting place, but it's insufficient for peacemaking, because peacemaking is proactive, and so we need to do things that will allow people to let go of that anger if we're going to be peacemakers. And also acts of mercy reinforce our love for other people. Just going to go over here. So the next time that we've got something brewing up, we're watching either as part of this and we see something starting to brew up, we need to learn how to be forgiving, very quickly forgiving of what other people are doing. And we also need to pray for wisdom so that we say wise things instead of letting things get to us. And even if we're an outsider looking at that, we need to be praying for wisdom and being peacemakers with the people that are having problems, even if it's ourselves, like Abigail did. Immediate action. She took immediate action when she found out there was a problem and went out and did something to resolve it. And we should do the same thing. So the last thing that I wanted to mention this morning is that There's one place that I could think of in our lives that peacemaking is of the utmost importance. And that's this. If we have not made peace with God, then we have not made the peace that we need to make, because the peace that we make with God is what is going to determine our eternal life, not just the life here. God wants good things for us here, but beyond this, that's where we really need to be making peace with God. We need to see that we are messed up. We talk about this week after week. We are messed up people. We are all sinners. We all make mistakes, but we need to make sure that we've made peace with God, and that only comes from His Son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the only way, and we need to make peace with God by saying, you know what, God, I am messed up. I keep making these mistakes. I've sinned against you. I keep being disobedient against you. And I want you to save me. And I'm going to believe and trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that He can save me from the eternal wrath caused by my sin, because Jesus came here and He died on the cross so that we could have peace with our Heavenly Father through Jesus' blood alone. Now I just want to pray for us and ask God for wisdom and to help us to be peacemakers. Will you guys join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to honor you with our lives. We know that we mess up constantly, but God, we want to ask you for wisdom, for the wisdom that we need to be peacemakers, for the wisdom that we need to get through this life and to love others the way that you love us. God, we thank you for putting someone like Abigail into your word so that we can learn how she quickly made peace with David for someone else's mistake, that she still went out and tried to make peace to keep things from getting into worse shape. We just ask you to forgive us where we fail you, and we want to go out as individuals and as a church, and we want to lead people to know you so that they can make peace with you. Because God, we understand that we all mess up, we all have sinned, and we all fall short of your glory. And we don't want that to stop us from being able to spend eternity with you. So we just ask for you to forgive us. And we don't want to do those things anymore. But God, we need your help. We need your help with wisdom, with patience, with mercy. We want to be quick to forgive. We want to be quick to make peace with our enemies, with our friends, with our spouse, and with our children. We want to work quickly to have that kind of peace that we need between us. God, today I just ask that you would use each one of us to build each other up, to encourage one another, and to love each other the way that you love us, and send us out to go to our jobs and go to our friends and all the things that we have during the week and between our time here to worship you and learn more about you, to help us to lead other people to you and to be conformed into your image. God, you are an awesome, awesome, mighty God, and we thank you for being the peacemaker that you are and giving us a way to be able to spend eternity with you. Father, we ask for all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Do we have any announcements or anything that I'm not aware of? Huh? Yeah, we got Man Day coming up for all the people that want to. Do you work on Saturdays? What about, is it usually morning or afternoon? Oh, so you might be available from, say, like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning till lunchtime to kill stuff, like skeet. Do you like to shoot?
I like to shoot. I don't kill stuff.
Skeet, like, yeah, skeet shooting. So we're going to be killing inanimate objects, but it's still going to be dead. So we're going to watch it blow up. It's going to be a blast. On the 25th, and I think you have said that you are going to be out of town, so we're going to do a live video feed that you can kind of watch in out there. You can shoot also. But we're going to try to do another Man Day coming up later on this year, and I'm really, 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 really hoping that it's for kind of a weekend thing and going down to the coast and doing some fishing, because I really want to go deep sea fishing. I haven't been ever before in my entire life. And huh? Dramamine? Oh, for the seasickness?
Yes.
I don't really get seasickness, and I'm on a motorcycle all the time, you know, going. Huh? So, huh? Oh, were you here last week? So we sang happy birthday to him, right? If today it is specifically, though, we can sing happy birthday to him, make him special. Karen's not going to get mad, though, is she, if we sing happy birthday to him? Saw it on Facebook. Man, I'm so thankful for Facebook. It lets us know so much great information. It won't tell me when my anniversary is, but I thought about that like last week. I know. So I put it into my phone for early in the morning so that whenever I wake up on August 1st, I can go, happy anniversary, and I'll remember. So. You're going to do what? That don't do any good for me. Oh, I'm not concerned over buying her stuff. She'll buy herself something. That's what we've had worked out for years. Amber, who buys your anniversary gift?
Amber.
So who buys your anniversary gift?
Most of the time me.
See? We have that worked out. We've had it worked out for a long time. This will be our 17th year, and I think I tried to buy her something for like the first two anniversaries, and it didn't. What kind of vacuum cleaner was that I got? I don't. No, I'm kidding. So Amber just picks out her own thing, and that works out very well. So we have the 25th coming up, Man Day, and then what's right after that? Isn't there something shortly after there? So August. So in August, we're going to have another chili cook-off. We'll be sending out some information about that, how we want to do that. Okay, cool. So that's what we have coming up. And I believe that is everything for now. I'll try to send out an email before too long about the chili cook-off. We're going to have to get some judges from outside of here. I'm going to like put some sugar or something in mine and let them know you taste the sweet chili. That's the best one. So that there's something I can identify it with because I want to win this year. So, Travis. So, Big Dave, do you want to pray us out of here so we can go on home?